Fox and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Count Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz among the millions of early voters. Donald Trump's former chief of staff warns that Trump would rule like a fascist if he's returned to the White House. John Kelly telling the New York Times Trump suggested while he was in office using the U.S. military domestically.
Mr. President, that's outside your authority. We really don't want to do that inside the United States. But now that he's talking about it as, I'm going to do it, again, it's disturbing.
What's been labeled as a terror attack today in Turkey? The BBC's Gurvinda Gill.
The country's interior minister, Ali Yerlikaya, has described it as a terrorist attack, saying people had been killed and others wounded. Ambulances, firefighters and also members of the security services have been sent to the site, which is owned by the company Turkish Aerospace Industries.
Two U.S. service people injured today in Iraq. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Scientists in Wisconsin are leading a nationwide Alzheimer's study. The National Institutes of Health is giving the UW-Madison more than $150 million. It's the biggest NIH grant in UW history. The Kamala Harris campaign is making its closing argument to American voters. Democratic running mate Tim Walz campaigned in Racine and Madison yesterday.
Our team is running like everything is on the line, because everything is on the line.
Walz made the case that Donald Trump would be dangerous with broad immunity from prosecution. He got some help from former President Barack Obama.
We do not need to see what an older, loonier Donald Trump looks like with no guardrails.
Obama says Americans are ready to turn the page. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, October 24th, the South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 12:15 at the SCLS office in Madison. The Wood County Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Edgewater Haven Nursing Home in Port Edwards. The City of Wisconsin Rapids Committee of the Whole will meet at 6 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. In Portage County, the public hearing for Portage County's three-year aging plan will take place at 2 p.m. at the American Legion Post 509 in Rosholt. In Adams County, the economic development meeting will begin at 7:30 a.m., and the location has changed. They'll be meeting at Gunderson Moundview Hospital and Clinics in Friendship. The Administrative and Finance Committee meeting will take place at 9 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. The Airport Commission will meet at 4 p.m. at the Adams County Airport. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks without Middleton. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers began his press conference by asking the number one question on the mind of reporters.
I wonder what you're going to ask.
Was Chris Middleton able to practice yesterday?
No Chris today, so probably no Chris tomorrow.
Yeah. Probably,
it's pretty 100%, so 99.
The Bucks are in Philadelphia tonight against the 76ers for their season opener. Philly will be without Paul George and Joel Embiid. NFL, the Packers' Keyshawn Nixon hopes he can return a kick for a touchdown Sunday in Jacksonville against the Jaguars. Says he's kind of tired of being tackled by kickers and punters.
I think I should have like seven touchdowns right now in the NFL, and all of them got stopped by a kicker. So I'm trying to figure out a way to make the kicker and punter miss, but they just take good angles, and it's starting to irritate me. Rams, Kansas City, Philly.
That's the Packers' Keyshawn Nixon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Gusty winds out of the northwest are whipping up to 30 miles per hour, keeping our temperatures down to the mid-50s. But this is our average high temperature for this time of year. With more and more sunshine by this afternoon and clear skies tonight, we fall below freezing to lows near 30. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. It's Wisconsin and Penn State at Camp Randall Stadium. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
It was a Christmas snowstorm. My whole leg swelled up. My doctor said to get to the ER immediately. Surgery went well, but then I got billed. I struggled with the VA bureaucracy for months. Then I called Tom Tiffany. 9 days later, the VA paid my bill. The doctor saved my leg, Tom saved me from medical debt, and he got me my veteran benefits when no one else could.
Paid for by Tiffany for Wisconsin.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Minnie Timuraju, president of the Reproductive Freedom for All organization. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is...
Haunted!
Whoa, the camel's in a cave. How about that? Very nice. 6 past the hour of 12 noon, a beautiful day here in Madison. And I bet it is around the state as well. We head up to beautiful Lake Wissota on the banks thereof. He is the host of Up North Radio, Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8. Mr. Pat Kreitlow, how the heck are you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Alba. I am fine. Thank you.
Wonderful.
It is a beautiful day up here. I have a window here in the palatial Lake Wissota studios yes. that faces due south. Ooh. And as you know, as the seasons get closer to winter, the sun is a little lower in the sky as we go on.
Right.
So we're now at the time where the sun, instead of being way up above the window, is now starting to shine in through the top of the window.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I appear to be almost a silhouette compared to the wall back here.
But it's some beautiful back lighting back there.
The back is lit really fine, but I'm the star, not the damn wall over here.
Your hair looks lit. Really nice, Pat.
My hair always looks really nice, Trigvi, and I appreciate that.
Joining us from the nation's capital.
For folks watching on the screen right now, one of these things is not like the others. We're playing a little Sesame Street game right here. So,
one of these men have hair. And it's Pat Kreitlow.
Well, Pat's always had TV hair.
From the very beginning, from daycare. Pre-K, I was inspired by Bob Barker's early days, and yeah, I've had game show host hair ever since.
You'd be very good at the Price is Right, I bet.
I have a story about that, actually.
Do you really? All right. Yes, well, first of all, let's introduce him Trigvi Olson, the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joins us from our nation's capital. Great to have Trigvi along today as well. As it turns out, we have a lot of time. We had a special guest, but they canceled. So we got
special can they be?
Well, I mean, no more special than you, Pat Kreitlow. But so, give us this is fantastic, by the way, a Price is Right story. Let's go ahead.
It's a story about the game show hair. Look, when I first got elected to the state senate, all people knew about me was that I'd been a TV anchor. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody knew prior to my running. You know, my political affiliations. I didn't really know the other members of the Senate Democratic Caucus. And you guys might recall that in 2007, the legislative Democrats passed a little thing called Healthy Wisconsin.
Yes.
You know, the effort to overhaul healthcare, even though we only controlled one chamber, not control the assembly. Right. I'm not going to comment on that part of it. All I'm going to say is there were meetings behind the scenes to put this all together. And everybody had like a different role. You're going to study this. You're going to study this. You're going to study and do a presentation on this. And then one of the people in charge turns to me and says, now, we'd kind of like you to, you know, kind of be the moderator of the whole thing, basically the MC. And I recall not storming out of the room, but kind of grumbling. It's like, they've got all these people studying all these weighty topics, and they want me to be the damn game show host. I'm like, that's all I'm good for here is game show host.
And there's so much more to Pat Quaitlow than just being an MC.
It turns out, no, that's really all I can do is I can yodel. You know, yes.
Can you really?
I can gripe about this, that, and the other thing. That's really all I'm good for.
Well, you're good for a lot more. Again, people can hear you every morning 6 until 8 on Up North News Radio. Gentlemen, we are now under 2 weeks away from voting here in the state of, well, at least election day, we should put it that way. People can start voting in person as of yesterday. Early voting started, Pat. Any news from the northern parts of Wisconsin, the greater Chippewa Valley, on whether people were making their way there?
The one thing that I do recall seeing are some photos taken by Trish Zunker showing the line stretching through Wausau City Hall or the courthouse, I forget which, and then out the door into the sidewalk. And, of course, we've seen photos and video from other places around Wisconsin as well. I'm sure the ones in Wausau were like, well, we don't know what the mayor's going to do next, so we'd better make sure our vote counts. Let's go cast it while we can. And as for me, I did my absentee ballot, and I took it up to my town hall drop box and popped it on in there because, again, there was a way of saying drop boxes are good and essential and we should use them. So my vote has been cast. How about you? Do you have your little I voted sticker yet?
I have several. Every time I get one, I try to remember to put it on my bulletin board by my desk. So I have many, but not one from this election. But yes, I'm going to do it either today or tomorrow. I'm going to vote early in person at my local clerk's office here in Madison, because next week, Trigvy and I are on the road around Wisconsin, and you never know what's going to happen on election day. So like you, I want to make sure I get my vote in, my ballot in. And the cool thing we had on last week or week before, former Republican Wisconsin Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, along with former Democratic Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, making a bipartisan appearance to tell people, look, elections in Wisconsin are free, fair, and accurate. Everyone should have faith as these numbers roll in under 2 weeks that our votes are being counted.
Yeah, and that includes, you know, the overseas ballots. Trigvy knows he's cast his ballot from, you know, such hot spots as Azerbaijan and Dubai and wherever else this little globetrotter goes. Yeah.
Lithuania, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Yeah.
How about it, Trigvy? You know, your thoughts? I know you do a lot of work, you know, in terms of the Lincoln Institute for Democracy and these types of things. Any trepidation on voting, not just in Wisconsin, but nationally? What are you seeing here in terms of efforts to suppress votes in this election?
My concerns about the election really are less about the actual voting process. I don't think that's where things are likely to get bumpy in the upcoming election. I think I do worry about that we could see a January 6th style event as it relates to counting processes, particularly in places where there's large enough amounts of ballots processed that it could cloud the outcome. I think that might be a bigger exposure, I don't think the actual process, the thing people have to recognize about the state of Wisconsin, Pat, I don't know if you or Todd have ever been involved in a recount, but
I have.
One of the first races I ran in Wisconsin years and years and years ago ended up in a recount. So then once you're trained for a recount, every time there's a recount, somebody knocks on your door, right?
Sure.
And the thing that people have to understand about Wisconsin is, or any state where they use optical scanners, right? They are so accurate that the outcome doesn't change. And I believe, it's like 90% of Wisconsin's optical scanners. The state of Wisconsin, you might have been in the legislature when they did this. They made a conscientious decision that everyone should have optical scanners so you don't have the issue. So, that process
machines?
Is smooth.
Machines?
Yeah.
I think we should insist on a hand count for every
technology
every
and
time.
Science?
I don't want any of that technology stuff. I mean, come on. Please.
No, the Venezuelans might hack it, right? Like that literally is why they make those narratives up.
Right. And that's where I would point folks to if you head over to the Up North News Facebook page. We've got several video clips there from an election clerk in Eau Claire. And I mean, she does such a good job of breaking down, here's how we secure the ballots. Here's how the counting process works. Right. You ask her about, basically rigging, and they continually start to hold simulations, little tabletop exercises on how would you get it. And she basically is like, we never get to the end of one of these because there isn't a way for a person to cast a second ballot, much less, you know, the 20,000 that you would need to cast to somehow throw an election. And honestly, I can't believe we're still talking about this 4 years later because it is such a ridiculous notion. And yet so many people buy into it because they want to buy into it, not because of anything that they've actually seen or experienced.
Right.
Trevi, I don't think we should. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say this too. I tend to be an election day voter. In large part because I like to walk over with my kids and I like to talk about, for example, their grandparents on mom's side who lived in most of their lives under Soviet communism, and they would go and cast votes that didn't mean anything because everybody would be required, if you didn't want to go to Siberia, to cast a vote. That's a little bit of an overstatement, but basically like it was a requirement. Yeah. Like you had to go and vote and you had one candidate to vote for. And I always like to talk to them and remind them about that. Because voting is a privilege regardless of who you're going to vote for. You know, I think one of the candidates running in this race is an absolute disaster and an anathema to democracy. But the reality is the fact that people have that right to go and vote when far too many people around the world do not have that right. Everyone should cherish it and not demean it and not disparage it. And quite frankly, you know, for me as somebody who's worked with people around the world who don't have that right and don't have the right to have their votes accurately counted, it's just so disgusting that you have these people who are attacking that process because they don't understand how lucky they are.
Right.
And Pat, well,
frankly, we as a country and we as a generation, I hate to say this, Pat, but, you know, I've been thinking, and Todd, you're the same generation. I have been thinking about Generation X, our generation. And if we don't get our act together, we're going to turn out to be the worst generation in the history of America.
Well, that's uplifting. That happy note. No, you're right.
So start appreciating what you have, and that starts with the fact that you can go and vote early, that you get to cast a ballot, and that ballot will be accurately counted and determine the outcome of the election. Yeah. And anybody who tries to tell you otherwise, or anybody who tries to call into question that, should be somebody that is not a friend of all those values and all those benefits that you get from living in a place where you do get to cast a ballot.
Yeah. Pat, 1 minute left.
Just go, people. Just go. I mean, we're gonna be hectoring people until 8 p.m. on November 5th. And that's fine. It's a big country. It's a big state. You know, there's millions of us in here. And it just makes things so much easier because you know that there's going to be lines there. And so if you have any kind of opportunity to skip that line, you know, as my wife did yesterday, she got to the town hall with about, you know, four people in line ahead of her, not 40. And right. So when you have that opportunity, especially in an election like this, just go for it. Just do it. Just do it, as the shoe says.
Question off the text line for Trigvy, Foreign Affairs. We'll get his opinion on that. And also, what do Pat and Trigvy have to say about the new GOP high sign being Vita Zane? Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President
Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Time to take a stand. Join Shirley's House of Hope for their 16th annual Iron Chef, Thursday, November 7th, 5:30 p.m. at Hotel Marshfield. Four area chefs will face off to benefit Shirley's House of Hope and the women and children healing from domestic abuse and addiction. There's also a silent and live auction. Iron Chef, Thursday, November 7th. Tickets and information at shirleyshouseofhope.org. Thank you to the team at WIRI and WFHR Radio for being an event sponsor.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile!
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The sun does not come up as early as it used to, but always an early riser to get you up and going from 6 until 8. Pat Kreitler with that great music there of North News Radio across Civic Media every morning. We appreciate him being here along with Trigvi Olson, our nation's capital, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Gentlemen, I want to get your quick take because we got a text to get to and a phone call, but I don't want to leave our audience hanging there. My reference was new reporting by The Atlantic and also The New York Times that former decorated four-star general John Kelly, one-time chief of staff to Donald Trump, has said now on the record that Donald Trump, when he was president, told Kelly that he admired Hitler's generals and wish he had generals like Adolf Hitler. Pat Kreitler?
Well, it's not good, but, and gosh, I don't mean to give fuel to the MAGA folks out there, but I don't know the date that he said that. Let's say today it's October 23rd. Mm-hmm. So let's say that Trump said this to him on October 23rd, 2019. Mm-hmm. You know when you should have told that story? October 24th of 2019, not 5 years later. Now, if you were holding it for maximum effect, maybe it'll work. Good luck to you. But I'm just seeing too much of this withholding of information until the right reporter asks you or until right. You've got the advance for a book deal or something like that. So, look, I know I'm getting away from the news itself, but the timing, in my view, doesn't really work in its advantage.
Not trying to defend him, but just what he said on the record is that he felt as a former military person, they're not supposed to get deep into these political things. And I think now this is Todd's speculation that perhaps he thought this was going to work itself out. Now that he's seeing it's close, he feels it's his duty to come forward now. That was his reason, not defending it, just putting it out there. That's what he said.
I get it.
I actually think that's a good thing, too, that our military, you know, that it's that ingrained in them. I do think, though, you know, one of the things that as the country adapts to an environment where we have far more extremism and radicalization in our politics and where someone like Donald Trump can rise, whether it's our institutions need to reacclimate themselves. And that includes, you know, higher education. Our elite schools of journalism need to do a different job of educating reporters about how you cover these kinds of things. One of the things, you know, I'll be that guy. I was asked at one point to go up and do a New York Times editorial board just off the record to talk about democracy and how they fail. And I was talking to them about how you cover these things. And what became readily apparent to me is of all the people that they had invited to be on the Zoom, the two people who got it were ones that had been bureau chief in China and in Moscow, where they had seen wow. the stuff up close. The rest wow. of them, did the political ones, wanted to cover it like the game they knew, mm-hmm. not the game we're in. So, and I think that's true with the military too, right? Like, it's good that our military's senior brass doesn't want to get in the middle of politics. It's good now that people like General Milley and General Kelly are speaking out. Do I wish that they would speak out more forcefully and more publicly even? Yes. Should they have done it earlier? Probably. But
here's what former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a former Republican who has now endorsed Kamala Harris, she was in Wisconsin again this week with the vice president campaigning. She says, quote, on Twitter today, if your response to General John Kelly, Gold Star father and Trump White House chief of staff, confirming that Trump praised Hitler and called members of our military, quote, suckers and losers, is to defend Trump, you need to look yourself in the mirror and realize your dishonor will live forever, unquote. Let's go to the phone line. Susan in McFarland. Susan, thanks for listening. What do you got? Something on voting. Go ahead.
Hello?
Susan, you're on the air. Quickly, if you could, please, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I'll be as quick as I can. My first point was that Alexei Navalny's book came out yesterday, and it's his memoir, and I think what Yulia had to say resonated with me, as the fact that, you know, he spent his adult life trying to make a change in Russia, and he paid the ultimate price for it. And I think that we've had a lot of people in our history that also have paid the ultimate price for it. And it's important for, my one point is it's important for us to read so we understand more. And the other thing, and this is a question for you, your group, do you think that we've been asleep at the wheel for the last 15 years or so? And that's my feeling, is that we've all been asleep at the wheel before Trump came to the forefront because we felt things were comfortable and cozy. That's my ask. And I'd like to hear a response from your group. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Susan. We appreciate you listening down there in the beautiful municipality of McFarland. A minute each. Trigby, then Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know how, you know, Susan sounds younger than Pat and I because we're old, but
I joined the club.
The reality is when the Cold War ended, you know, our generation of people who are adults now and almost 60, so from the age of 30 to 60, spent their adult lives in a world that was very, in America, that was very different from what some previous generations had done. It was one of unprecedented peace and prosperity globally. I think, you know, to Susan's point, the boys who ran off boats on the beaches of Normandy didn't have that option. Or the people who held their best friends at Guadalcanal or in Vietnam had a little bit different perspective on the world and had seen some things that, quite frankly, shaped their understanding that it isn't always about aspiring to be. I want to be in politics. I want to be governor of the state of Wisconsin when I'm at Badger Boys State. They weren't afforded that. What they set out was, I want to do things. And now we're faced with something where people need to go out and do something, and that's vote for their democracy and not put somebody who thinks Hitler did good things in office.
Pat Kreitlow.
And as far as the Navalny book, I read a few excerpts this morning, and I'm looking forward to getting some of the rest of it as a reminder that there are still people out there who will make those kinds of ultimate sacrifices to try to give the next generations the sense of freedom that too many of us take for granted. And yeah, that's our main sin here, is taking for granted, thinking, oh, what happened in Hungary could never happen here. What happened with Duterte in the Philippines could never happen here. And many more of us have now learned, yeah, actually it can, but there's still so many others who think this is just some kind of a phase or something, and I hope they get this wake-up call before November 5th rather than after January 20th.
One way to head it off, be a voter. Have a plan to be a voter. Pat Kreitlow, he has already been a voter. You can listen to him every morning, 6 until 8. Thank you, Pat. We appreciate you out there in beautiful Lake Wissota.
You bet.
We'll see you on the road next week. Stay tuned.
See you next week.
Trigby Olson and I back after this on Civic Media.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With harvest coming on quick with high amounts of grain, there are some unique things happening within the markets. I'm Ben Jarba with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is here describing what is being seen and how it is affecting the Gulf.
You know, from talking to a few elevators, just reading things in terms of the marketplace, you know, we've really seen the Gulf is looking for soybeans, looking for corn right now to get on the export train wagon here and get it overseas. And with the speed of harvest, guys are sitting back, they're rolling, they're pushing things through. They're not don't put it on the market here unless it's overrun bushels in that regard. So that's been a factor, I think, that's helped the front end of this marketplace in terms of its price here. Is just the pure fact that producers aren't selling it right now.
John Heinberg says that the farmers are holding their grain to help push the markets to higher prices, which appears to be working with more support shown in the November and December corn and soybeans. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and I will have your midday markets right after this.
I confess, I love to host a party. I love having people over. But when they come over, I want to leave a favorable impression with them, not just with the atmosphere, but the food. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage. So I went to Scott and I said, listen, I need something for a pretty good sized group in my backyard. And he set me up with their Berkey Brats. Now, I've talked about these before, but my guests talked about them through the whole event, telling me, man, Pam, these are great brats. Something different about these. Brats. They were asking me all kinds of questions, and I was happy to tell them what I knew about all the custom mixes that are being worked on right now at Bavaria Sausage. Now listen, you can experience the Berkey Brats yourself, but you've got to go to the retail location right now. Corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1, or shop all the great Bavaria Sausage flavors online. BavariaSausage.com, and get ready to amplify any event you're hosting. Bavaria Sausage.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarba with the Midwest Farm Report, and remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can download it at thefarmwi.com or by finding it on your app store. Now let's take a look at those midday markets from Chicago. A bit of a mixed bag as we look at the grain markets today, with December corn down a quarter at 416 and a quarter, while November soybeans are up 3 and a quarter at 995. December wheat is up a half at 576 and a half, while July wheat is down 1 at 611 and three quarters. Classroom milk contracts continue to see slight decreases as November contracts are at 2030 a hundredweight, down 5 cents. And December Class 3 milk contracts are at 2038 a hundredweight, down 6 cents. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Gusty winds out of the northwest are whipping up to 30 miles per hour, keeping our temperatures down to the mid-50s. But this is our average high temperature for this time of year. With more and more sunshine by this afternoon and clear skies tonight, we fall below freezing to lows near 30. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 53 degrees.
Everything about advertising can be terrifying to business owners. Don't let that chill go down your spine the next time you hear the word sales. Call me today. I'm Ashley, and I can take the fright out of advertising for your business. With our network abilities in digital, radio, and web, we possess all the tools to make your business successful. Call me today at 715-496-0710. Because here at 97.5 FM WFHR, we want you to succeed.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, former UN Ambassador Susan Rice will join us at 10:33. Hour number two, all things sports with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. And this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I'll myself.
pile to me. I'm the crowd who's out to change our history. I'll myself raise your hand. There's no greater dictator in the land. Everything I do for you. If you're looking for a war, here's World War II. I'll myself raise your beer. Every hotsy, totsy, Nazi stand and cheer.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, October 23rd. A little producers there. Springtime for Hitler, if you're not familiar, from Broadway. One of my favorite tunes in the show, actually. Now, and you look, you got it. We know for a fact that one of the things Donald Trump hates worse is being laughed at. So you have to laugh at the guy, right? Just how ridiculous he is. But of course, there's also a very heavy and serious side to this as well. And joined now again in this half hour by Trygve Olson, like myself, a former Republican, like myself, a native of Wisconsin. Trygve has gone on, and in addition to working for people like John McCain in the past, working for democracy around the world, the only person I know has been banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. Joins us here. And Trygve, last night on Caitlin Collins on CNN, Jeff Greenberg joined her to discuss this article in The Atlantic and a subsequent interview with the New York Times on John Kelly, or with John Kelly. Decorated military general, was Trump's longest serving White House chief of staff. I want to play this cut. This is from the New York Times interview. This is General Kelly in his own words on what Donald Trump said behind closed doors about admiring Hitler.
Unless you're someone like me or Mattis or, you know, people like that that retired from the military or left the military, like Mark Esper or Mike Pompeo, and then go into a political job. Whether it's elected or you know, assigned by the White House, it's a little bit different because you're then involved in it. But for the most part, you just, and that's why I'm so hesitant to talk. You certainly never to tell or recommend to an American who they should vote for, because now that I'm out of the political job, I'm back to being pretty much a retired military officer who should not get too involved in this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, until the former president started talking about this, and this goes back to my when I was in the White House, for that matter, DHS, I was, originally the conversation would be, Mr. President, that's outside your authority, or, that's a routine use. You really don't want to do that inside the United States. But now that he's talking about it as I'm going to do it is disturbing.
That is retired general, four-star general John Kelly, former White House chief of staff to former President Donald Trump, talking to the New York Times about this Atlantic story that was on CNN last night of Caitlin Collins. Trygve, to hear a guy like John Kelly, who is admired in the military world, whose son was killed in action. It's powerful to me. And again, I understand Pat Kreitlow's earlier point. I know people probably share that. Why didn't he speak out earlier? I know in your time with former Senator McCain, my time working for Scott Klug in Congress and spending a lot of time with military folks working on military issues, they take this military code very seriously. They don't move into the political realm, the partisan political realm, unless they think it's absolutely necessary. And to Kelly's point, if I am interpreting this right, he basically said, look, I heard him say this when I was there, but now that he is openly saying it in the closing days of the campaign, we played this cut before where he has said that it's the, quote, the enemy within, referring to American citizens, and that bringing up in his own words that he would engage the military against our own citizens, I think that's what made Kelly speak out now.
Yeah, I think all of that's true. I think, the reality, I was talking to somebody who's planning on voting for Trump yesterday, and they're like, you know, well, I think he's a horrible person, but, you know, I like the policies. And we had a long conversation, as a younger guy, about why that matters. And, you know, there's a decision made by the Trump campaign that they knew that they had to do everything they possibly could to disqualify with their voters from 2020, that person as a viable option. And really where the battle in this thing has always been, and at the Lincoln Project, we've been saying this from the outset, was going to come down to conservative Republicans, former Republicans who were uncomfortable with Trump, but, you know, their partisan inclinations were to vote for Republicans. They comprise 60% of Evers Johnson voters in the state of Wisconsin. They don't like election denial. They don't want government, but at the same time, they don't want government telling them what kind of shotgun they can own. And, you know, the key to doing that is to figure out how to get enough information to them. And I think this matters. It's, you know, it's why Liz Cheney is spending time in Waukesha County with Harris, why Harris is focusing on that. I think this will matter to a degree. It won't matter with the hardcore Trump people.
But veterans.
Veterans, older conservatives, yeah, it could.
Yeah. Comment off the YouTube visit, Mr. Zomeris, from Andrew in Maine, saying, experience drives values. Trigvy values voting more than the average American because most Americans have never been without the ability to vote when they have not had to have a DNC to remove the remainders of miscarriages. They don't realize it does not mean they killed an unborn child. It would be nice if we could avoid living in a dictatorship for people who realize how poor it would be.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew's point is a really good one. And I made the point that I did about sort of our generation. And I, you know, Scott Walker's not the only one. In fact, I think about so many in our generation, Todd, even when, you know, when we were coming up, right, working in state legislature, staff people, and I would have put myself in this category at that point. You know, I wanted to be, and it was like, all right, you know, I want to run campaigns and I want to run bigger campaigns. And you know, loyalty was what people wanted. It wasn't your competence.
Right.
I got lucky in the sense that, you know, I got asked by the International Republican Institute that John McCain ran through McCain's connection to Scott McCallum, of all people. And I got asked to go to Poland and work with those who were, you know, they're having their second election for president under freedom. And I really found something that I wanted to do, that to my cause greater than self, to work on. And I still got to do things in politics, right? Like in the U.S., I did do, you know, I went pretty far, certainly, but I got to see things in places like Nigeria and Indonesia and Venezuela and Russia. You know, we had a caller who mentioned Alexander Navalny. I didn't know Navalny. My wife knows Navalny and knows Navalny's wife. But I knew Boris Nemtsov, who was the leader of the Russian opposition before Navalny, who was gunned down in front of the Kremlin. In fact, I keep Boris's phone number in my phone. He was my friend. And, you know, when I was thinking about the Lincoln Project and would I go and do that, I was offered a large sum of money to work on a super PAC for Donald Trump. And I was like, I can't do that. I would never do that. They basically wanted to keep me off the Lincoln Project play. I would never do that because everything that I knew in my core, that it was about who I am, and I knew that I had to sit my kids down and I had to say everything I ever said to Boris Nemtsov would be a lie if I didn't do the right thing, which wasn't the right thing for my career, but was the right thing for my kids and for my country, and put cause greater than self. And it really wasn't until I faced that choice that I understood what John McCain would talk about, which is what he learned in the Hanoi Hilton. And we have so many people who have never experienced that. And thus, because they still want to be, they're willing to defend this stuff on Twitter every day, even if they wrap themselves in the mantle of being good Christian, patriotic Reagan Americans. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is, they're still that guy at Badger Boy State who right. wants to be, or they're Scott Jennings.
That's just a well said.
CNN.
That's a well
all
said.
All people that I know well.
Right. And there's a list of people that you and I also know well that, look, it's not, I'm not going to run down verbatim every name, but I think your point earlier, it goes far beyond former Governor Scott Walker in this state. There are yes, people who there are people who are still country. In the state capitol. There are people making a lot of money as lobbyists in the state of Wisconsin. There are business people in the state of Wisconsin that know full well the danger that Donald Trump represents, and still they go out and defend them as a transactional because they want to be able to do business on K Street in Washington. They want to make money here in Wisconsin, and they're willing to feather their own nest for what? And Liz Cheney's point, as she said today, and she's made so many times, your dishonor, everybody, because I know Republicans listen particularly for Trigvy. Remember, your dishonor, looking yourself in the face every morning in your nice McMansions in Wisconsin and wherever you live at, you have to look with that. Look and live with that for the rest of your life. Think about that, Trigvy.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It's not just Scott Walker or Scott Jennings. It just broke, and I probably knew this because I had seen the tweets, and then he unfollowed me. Chris LaCivita, who's running the Trump campaign, and I have been friends for a long time. We worked on a lot of campaigns back in the day. You know, and you can think of what you want of Chris. Chris won a couple of Purple Hearts in the first Gulf War, so there's that. But Chris LaCivita on Twitter right after January 6th said Donald Trump's lies are responsible for what we're seeing.
Right.
He knows better deep inside, but he was on a path to run a I believe he was on a path to potentially run a presidential campaign. And then Donald Trump came along, and then you're faced with this choice. Do you take the 30 pieces of silver? And if you're a person who foundationally wants to be someone, you're willing to rationalize that any way that you have to. And I'm sure Scott Walker would be brave enough to come on the show, I would love to have that debate with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he would never do that because he knows right. that deep down, it's all about being, not about doing. And always was.
Trigvy, I mentioned this yesterday, I think on the show, Zomers Keep Me Honest, yesterday, the day before, I quoted you from about a year ago when we started talking about this race. And you said, Todd, I think it's all going to come down to Wisconsin. But you know what? If I had to put the entire future of the United States of America in anybody's hands, I trust my friends and neighbors in Wisconsin. I think your prediction has come true. It's all going to come down to our friends and neighbors.
Yeah, it will. No doubt. Always was going to be that. All the rest of it, to a degree, is noise. And, you know, if I was blessed with one skill, and I probably got it from my grandpa Doc, it was an ability to look at a lot of different symptoms and break it down pretty fast and be like, all right, here's what it's really about, you know, like, and I suppose that was his life of delivering 6,000 babies in St. Croix County in the rural areas during World War II and literally going into houses where people had smallpox or whatever and figuring it out fast. But, you know, it was very clear that was where this thing was going to decide. And I do take comfort in the idea that it is going to be people in Wisconsin who decide this. And you're seeing a willingness by Democrats to reach out to those people. And that's really a testament to somebody like Ben Winkler and the Democrat powers that be in the state of Wisconsin, that they're really about doing something, not about just simply being.
We're going to come back, wrap things up with Trigvy Olson, get that question in about North Korean troops in Russia off the text line. Let Trigvy look at his crystal ball and talk about being on the road. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Lauball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stand and cheer.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
A lot can happen in 25 years, especially in the swamps of Washington, D.C. When we first elected her, Tammy Baldwin focused on Wisconsin. But Baldwin changed. Today, she rakes in campaign cash from left-wing groups and does their bidding. Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. She supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. Baldwin even voted to send stimulus checks to criminals in jail, including the Boston Marathon bomber. We thought we knew Tammy Baldwin, but she's changed. Now it's time for us to make a change. Replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Ooh, boo! Did I scare you? Probably not, but I bet your aunt's mystery casserole for the holidays is gonna scare your socks off. Why take a chance on a frightening meal this holiday? Take the fear out of the holidays with El Cafe in Port Edwards. Order your favorite items, have them delivered, and relax. The holidays can be frightful enough. Call 715-887-2213. That's 715-887-2233. Let El Cafe take the fear out of your holiday.
Time to take a stand. Join Shirley's House of Hope for their 16th annual Iron Chef, Thursday, November 7th, 5:30 p.m. at Hotel Marshfield. Four area chefs will face off to benefit Shirley's House of Hope and the women and children healing from domestic abuse and addiction. There's also a silent and live auction. Iron Chef, Thursday, November 7th. Tickets and information at shirleyshouseofhope.org. Thank you to the team at WIRI and WFHR Radio for being an event sponsor.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
People try to put us to down.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have Trevi Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project, all in line to get to you in a short time to get there. I want to get to this quick question, Trigvi, if you give us a quick answer off the text line. And forget who it was exactly. Zabras is finding it for us. There we go. It is Steve listening on WAUK in Milwaukee say asking, what does Trigvi have to say about North Korean troops now being in Russia? What is next? If you have missed it, it appears that Vladimir Putin is now making a deal with North Korea to bring in North Korean troops to fight in Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big deal in the sense that it's an expansion of the conflict and pulling in another member of the axis of illiberal into the fight. On the battlefield, I can't really tell you what difference it makes, other than it says that Putin is running out of his own troops that are decent. I think the Ukrainians will probably be in a position to handle that. I do think it has the potential to be escalatory. I know I read someplace that the South Koreans have been more actively coordinating and sharing intelligence with NATO. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're seeing is, you know, this further, I mean, this battle that Donald Trump versus Harris and is part of a much bigger global battle. And ground zero on election day is going to be of that battle is Wisconsin, like we were talking about. But our generation's task, and this is maybe where our generation has a chance to get it right, is one between autocracy and democracy, mm-hmm. and how freedom and lack of freedom. And it's going on around the world, and Ukraine is a front line in it. Wisconsin is a front line in it.
not to cut you off, Trigvi, but give us your 30-second quick down and dirty here. We're now under 2 weeks out from the election. How are you feeling about it? Where should people be watching? Obviously, we all have to vote in Wisconsin, number one, vote. But beyond that, as a political expert, how is this race shaping up?
You know, the credible polling, there's so much junk polling out there, and there's so many people because they have so much anxiety that's looking for simplistic answers to a degree to that distress. So they want to find the poll that reinforces what they believe. So you've got all these junk polls that are out there. You know, the race with the credible polls that have the resources to do that have consistently shown Harris leading nationally by about 3 points. For Wisconsin, I'm waiting to see what the Marquette poll comes out and says. If Harris is, you know, at 3.2% nationally, she's probably pretty good in the existential states. If she's at 2.6, it's going to be a really long night. And you know, this is not going to end on election night. A wise Nigerian, I was in Nigeria once years ago, and a man who had fought in many civil wars in Nigeria, an old man, said to me, "I don't know how it is in your country, but in our country, the winner of elections isn't decided by who gets the most votes. It's decided by how long those who lose will accept being governed by those who win." And I worry that we've reached a place where if Donald Trump loses, that there are going to be a lot of people who don't accept that. And if Donald Trump somehow prevails, it's going to be a problem, because Donald Trump's only path to winning is very narrowly. 5,000 to 10,000 votes in Wisconsin, you know, 30,000 votes in Michigan, 60,000 to 70,000 votes in Pennsylvania. He will lose the popular vote nationally, and it will be the fifth time in 7 elections that has happened, and Republicans have won all of them because of the Electoral College. So I just think we're in a really dangerous place, but we just have to have faith in each other, not be afraid, because what Donald Trump and the autocrats, and it was true of Adolf Hitler, it's true of Vladimir Putin, it's true of all of them. If I've learned one thing around the world, we are either a nation that has faith in each other, or we are a nation that is afraid of each other. We have to have faith in each other.
Great advice from a great friend. Super quickly, I'll give you a choice, Trey. Do you want to play this ad or do you want to go to calls? We got 2 minutes.
No, let's take the call.
All right, very quickly, L.A. Tom, you've been holding a while. If you make it quick in 30 seconds, L.A. Tom, it's all yours.
Absolutely, guys. First off, I think Democrats need to start actually saying that we are going to win this election instead of making it where we're such an underdog and stuff, but say, yes, we are confident we are going to win this election if we get our voters out. And I hope that after this election, we can put the media can truly put Donald Trump in the dustbins of history. And yes, there'll be other authoritarian dictators, but he's got some type of charisma. Mm. And I think that the media needs to really, really look at itself and say, you know what, just because it's better for CBS does not mean that it's better for the country. Great. And really mean it.
Yep. And great call, Tom. Thank you so very much. Trigger me really quickly. I think that's a great point. I mean, for what you're seeing, if people get out and vote, you feel good, but nothing's for sure in terms of Harris winning. Is that accurate to say?
If everybody gets out and votes, that's right. Yeah, I think Harris will win, and probably she'll win Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. She should.
Mark from Pertisac. Mark, 30 seconds. It's all yours, Mark.
Yeah, Donald Trump is a example of Hamilton's warning in Federalist 75, an avaricious man willing to betray the interests of his constituents for his own personal aggrandizement and wealth. And in the Declaration of Independence, there was a warning that one of the griefs against King George III is that the judges served him and not the people in justice.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Mark. Yeah, Trevi. I mean, look, Trump's a narcissist. We know this. He puts himself before country. And it really is incumbent on each of us to join together this coalition, as Harris and Cheney have been talking about again in Wisconsin, as Obama and Walz talked about in Madison yesterday. It's a coalition to stand up, but we can go back to, you know, arguing about policy later.
Yeah, for those who are stressed out, if this weekend you're all stressed about it, I got a good piece of advice. Watch Mel Brooks as the producers. It will give you at least 2 hours of not thinking about it and a lot of laughs about springtime for Hitler in Germany.
Trigby, you're amazing. We'll see you on the road next week, my friend. Thank you very much.
We will see you on Monday, Todd.
Sounds good. Stay tuned. Hour two is next.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Civic Media's Todd Alba, who will get a Nightlight birthday surprise. And you won't want to miss up-and-coming musician DeAndre Marie, who performs in studio.
Nightlight with T. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
They've been rocking audiences for decades. It's Foghat. Performing live November 30th. Take it easy. at Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells.
I just want to make...
With special guest, The Empty Pockets. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. Legendary rock band Foghat. Live in concert November 30th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
Must be 21 to attend concert.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CB.